Well, good morning, everyone, and thank you for coming in so early for this presentation. Very good. I have no relationships to disclose, so we'll go right into this. I'm just going to talk a little bit about some successful strategies that we use to implement a project called Healthy Babies Are Worth the Wait in Kentucky, looking at both clinical and public health participation, and also how to overcome some of the communication obstacles in the administration of a program such as this. One of the reasons that we chose to work on preterm birth, late preterm birth, it's the number one obstetrical challenge in the U.S. Some of the major cause of loss, the majority of all perinatal mortality, it's the leading cause of neonatal mortality since 1999. It's the leading cause of all infant mortality in the U.S. One of the leading problems in pediatric that's responsible for is the most common cause of neonatal morbidity. Half of all neurodevelopmental conditions, 1 in 5 of these children will have mental retardation, and 1 in 3 with vision impairments, and almost half of all these children with cerebral palsy. It's associated with higher rates of chronic illnesses in adults, such as heart disease, diabetes, etc. The prevention of preterm birth both provides the opportunity to affect a diverse group of conditions ranging from short-term to long-term. If you look at preterm birth rates in the U.S. and then compared to Kentucky, you'll see that from 1983 through 2006, there has been a 30% increase. So we're definitely going in the wrong direction there. And in Kentucky, currently we have more than 14% preterm birth rate. So this was definitely an issue for our state and something that we wanted to look at. The percent of live births that were born preterm, again, if you, the U.S. Statistics are there in the red and Kentucky is in the blue. And if you look at this, in 2007, when we first began our Healthy Babies Are Worth the Wait project, we had more than a 15% preterm birth rate. We have come down a little bit and hope to continue in that direction with a project such as this. This was an innovative 3-year initiative. We began in 2007 and it went through 2009, and it is continuing, but this was our evaluation phase of it. It was really a real-world ecological design that used bundled evidence-based clinical and public health interventions to prevent late preterm birth. We had a goal of 15% reduction in the rates of singleton preterm births in 3 sites in Kentucky. We have a lot of challenges in Kentucky. About 23 of our counties have 5 or fewer doctors there at all. We have 2 counties that have no doctors of any kind in them. Lots of our folks lack reliable car transportation or child care. There are no buses, taxis, car services, anything like that in many of these counties. So they have no way, if there is not a physician in their county, they have no way to travel to get care. About a third of our counties have only small hospitals that don't offer surgery or childbirth or any kind of specialized care. There are 25 dental health provider shortage areas in Kentucky. And again, Owsley and Robertson counties, 2 counties have no dentist at all of any kind. Continued challenges that we have, unfortunately, Kentucky is in the top 5 for so many things, obesity, heart disease. We keep going back and forth with West Virginia for being number 1 in toothlessness, so there's a lot of oral health issues. We have lots of challenges with lack of social support, lack of personal resources, stress, just life events, both chronic and catastrophic stress, anxiety, depression, racism, intendedness of pregnancies, poverty, substance abuse. Few evidence-based interventions after 34 weeks was another area that we really wanted to look at. What we saw was after about 34 weeks, they really kind of said, well, you know, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. So they didn't really do a lot to try to prevent the birth after that time. There is a window to administer steroids to women during that time, and that's usually about 24 to 34 weeks. And once you get to 34 weeks, both fortunately and unfortunately, you know, they've done a really good job. Once a baby gets to about 34 weeks, they say it's about 100% survival rate. So we've come a long way in that area. A lot of our issues around this also revolve around our healthcare delivery system. Reimbursements based on the provider performing the delivery and not necessarily the provider of the prenatal care. So that was a big issue. A doctor might care for a woman the entire time, and then if she gets delivered by someone else, he gets nothing. So that was one of the things that we looked at. Certainly in Kentucky, not enough providers. Inadequate coverage of anesthesia or other things like that. Particularly, some of these folks have to travel 2 to 3 hours to get to a hospital that delivers babies. Another thing that we looked at with the Healthy Babies Are Worth the Wait, we really wanted, again, real-world things that could work. So we wanted a piece of consumer awareness and education to educate these women about the signs and symptoms of preterm labor and the effects of if having a late preterm baby. We really wanted a piece of professional education for the physicians, and as brilliant as these physicians are, many of them really didn't know some of the things that they're learning today about the effects of late preterm birth. We needed the public health intervention piece, looking at our case managers in Kentucky. We have a project called HANDS. It's a home visitation project where the caseworkers actually go into the home and work with these women, any kind of first-time parents. Clinical interventions in the prenatal period, looking at any kind of smoking cessation, group prenatal care, and then also quality improvement strategies, decreasing elective inductions and C-sections. This project, again, ran from, we really took some baseline surveys. Looking at that, we wanted to look at about 40,000 births per year, and certainly to have a preterm birth rate over 13%, which Kentucky certainly did. We wanted to look at increase in preterm birth rate more than 20% and an increase of more than 10% for just the singleton birth rates in the past decade. We looked at having strong leadership and commitment from the State Department of Health and the local healthcare leadership and interest in improving perinatal outcomes, and Kentucky certainly had that in place. And then a high rates of modifiable risk factors, again, which we certainly had that. This is kind of what our state looks like. We really chose, we wanted to look at high and increasing rate, again, of preterm births, any kind of high prevalence of modifiable risk factors, and sufficient delivery volume. So we picked three different sites. We have a university site that's kind of in central Kentucky. The ones in the red are our intervention sites, and the one in the blue are our comparison sites. So we had a good representation of the state, both east, west, and the central portion. Some of the things that we used, again, we had both intervention and comparison sites. We had process and outcome evaluation components. We were able to use existing data that our state already collected. We had sampling of community members and providers through our surveys. We looked at the combination of both quantitative and qualitative analysis. And some of the limitations that we faced was that it was hard to link data for individuals over time. We had no way to look at them over long periods of time. We couldn't really pull out specific interventions like, okay, this little piece is what made the project successful, or that it was really looking at it as a whole bundled program instead of just piece by piece. And we had couldn't definitely attribute observed changes to the intervention site because both fortunately and unfortunately, there was some contamination within the state. Everybody talked about preterm birth, and it became a big piece of conversation in our state, so there was some cross-contamination there. Some of the evaluation pieces that we used an annual perinatal system survey. We looked at both the intervention and comparison sites, and that really looked at changes in the hospital's relevant policies and procedures, what was going on there. We had an environmental and policy interview that was done with each of the places. It was conducted annually with both the intervention and comparison sites. And then we had more in-depth information on selected topics. And we really wanted to collect details on relevant policies, on environment and system issues, anything that would give us any kind of outcomes that would be of interest. We did have pre and post test. We did have provider knowledge and attitudes test. We had both baseline and then final surveys in both the intervention and comparison sites. Plus we had some interim surveys in the intervention sites alone. We also did community members' knowledge, attitude, and behavior. We had consumer surveys. These were pregnant women. We had baseline and final surveys, and we also had a core group and a supplemental group of pregnant women receiving prenatal care in each hospital's catchment area. We had some great advisors through this. We had a steering committee, the National March of Dimes, and Johnson & Johnson Pediatric Institute. We had weekly executive program board meetings. These were the primary partners. And then we had monthly team leader meetings that included our intervention sites, both our hospital and our health department sites. We also had a lot of advisors throughout this program. We had site council meetings that included all of our participating agencies, such as the Department of Health, the commissioner there, the director of MCH, our home visitation coordinators, nursing director. We had some great partnerships also with ACOG, A1, our Kentucky Perinatal Association was heavily involved, all of our intervention sites. We had clinical experts in maternal fetal medicine, in OB, and neonatology, pediatrics, family medicine, oral health, smoking cessation, social works, communications and media experts. And then out of that, we also had working groups that worked on these issues alone and then came back and reported them to the group. We had some great resources, and not all of these were resources as far as money goes, but certainly for time and expertise and many things like that. And again, which just included our national and local media, our hospital association was involved, the Kentucky Perinatal Association, and of course Johnson & Johnson Pediatric Institute, March of Dimes, both at the national and local level, and certainly our Department of Health, again at the state and out in the county levels. Some of the tools that we used for this, we had a password-protected online workspace with restricted access that was given to our intervention sites. We had our materials on there. We had the minutes of meetings we had. We had presentations that were given. All the evaluation materials were on there. We had journal articles that were sent to the sites periodically. Each site set up a little resource center at their hospital where the healthcare providers could go and refer to these. We had newsletters. We had almost daily communication either through telephone or email with many of these sites. We had a website, theprematurityprevention.org, and this is just a snapshot of kind of what it looked like so that people could access and see what was going on. We also did newsletters that went out to both intervention and comparison sites and other folks across Kentucky so that they could see what was going on with the program. One of the most powerful things that we had that was developed during this program was our Brain Growth Matters card. And physicians really, really love this. This is one of the pieces of materials for professionals. And in fact, we had one physician the day we gave these out. He said, "I'm going to take this and tell Mrs. So-and-so this is why I'm not delivering her early." So it was a very powerful tool, and they really, really loved it. We also had materials for patients. This was developed by the March of Dimes, and again is developed for patients and talks about the brain growth card, the brain growth between 35 and 40 weeks. We had patient brochures in both English and Spanish, and thanks to Johnson & Johnson and the National March of Dimes, these are actually Kentucky women. We did a beautiful photo shoot of some actual women there, so these are Kentucky natives. Again, these were patient brochures that actually went that were given out. Talked about for a healthy full-term pregnancy, and if you go into preterm labor, what to look for, what to do. Again, a beautiful piece by the March of Dimes, "Why the Last Weeks of Pregnancy Count." We have questions to ask your physicians, what you can do, because we really wanted it to be a two-fold piece. We wanted the docs, the physicians saying, you know, "We're really not going to deliver you because," and we really wanted the women saying, "Now, why are you scheduling my delivery?" So we really wanted education on both pieces. These are some of the educational tools that we used, the toothbrush and floss, because we do have such issues with oral health. We had beautiful tote bags with all the Healthy Babies Are Worth the Wait messages on them. We had t-shirts designed, post-it notes, pens. The bottom piece there is just a little calendar that came apart and also served as a little photo frame. Some of the early successes that we saw in this, we certainly saw NICU admissions have decreased. A clinical quality improvement initiative has been implemented in a lot of our sites, and through a March of Dimes community grant, one of our sites has a full-time social worker that actually goes on site there and works with the women. And all of our sites are now smoke-free and have smoking cessation services that are available to pregnant women. Some of the continued successes that we want to see and that we really are seeing is a reduction of singleton late preterm births, certainly a reduction in our rate, a reduction in elective inductions and any kind of sections conducted prior to 39 weeks gestation without medical cause, an increase in average days of gestational age, birth weight, reduction in the neonates' length of stay in the hospital, reduction in hospital cost and charges, positive change in consumer and provider knowledge and behavior. We hope to grow that, and we certainly are. We're expanding the project in Kentucky as well as into two additional states in 2011. And we can hope to continue to use the Healthy Babies Are Worth the Wait project. Some of the things that we really wanted to work on was really to prevent the preventable things. Look at promoting good pregnancy spacing. Look at folic acid deficiencies in women. Looking at decreasing alcohol abuse and tobacco in Kentucky. Some of our counties have more than 60% of pregnant women who smoke, so that was certainly a big modifiable factor that we can certainly work on. Reduction in the use of illicit drugs, looking at infections, extremes of weight, either obese or below weight, looking at some medications, letting people know how the interactions of those will be, and that even over-the-counter things are important to look at. Looking at environmental toxins, knowing your genetic and family risk, and then looking at unnecessary interventions resulting in preterm birth that aren't medically necessary, and looking at presentations. So that's kind of what we did in a quick nutshell in Kentucky, and it's a great project, and probably one of the greatest things that grew out of ours was a lot of collaboration, a lot of folks across the state, hospitals, health departments, who really had not collaborated in the past, really come to know each other personally, and really have kind of joined together to reduce the rate of preterm birth in Kentucky. Thank you.